For her second Rwanda story, Jeb Sharp attended a genocide trial. It's part of a huge legal experiment now underway in Rwanda. The experiment is called Gacaca. Since 1994, the government has struggled to administer justice to hundreds of thousands of genocide suspects. A UN court was set up in Tanzania to try high-level suspects. The regular Rwandan courts began processing the rest, but they were soon overwhelmed. So the government of Rwanda adapted a traditional form of dispute resolution into a grassroots apparatus to try genocide cases. Jeb Sharp went to see how it works.
There are almost as many genocide suspects in Rwanda as victims. The government puts the number of dead at 1 million. It estimates the number of killers at 800,000. Domitila Mukanaganzwa is the government official in charge of the Gacaca courts.
So we have lost a big number of people, but these people have been also killed by another big number. After that observation, our government has decided to look for an alternative solution. That's why we have Gacaca now.
Mukanaganzwa wants justice for the victims, but she also wants Rwandans to come together.
We don't need only justice. We need also reconciliation. We need also to educate our population, to show them that they are really a same population. They are really a same community.
Gacaca courts don't try the planners and instigators of genocide, but they do deal with the bulk of the suspects. The cornerstone of the Gacaca is the confession. Many suspects who confess are released from prison to appear before Gacaca courts in their hometowns. Those courts then determine their fate. The judges are regular people elected by popular vote. The word Gacaca means on the grass, and the gatherings are literally on the grass, under the trees, by the side of the road. The people of Ruhango gather under a grove of eucalyptus trees to hear a Gacaca appeals case. Seven judges with green, yellow, and blue sashes sit on a simple wooden bench behind a long table. The accused man is called Jean-Pierre Munyakayanza. He stands stock still in front of the judges, his arms folded at his chest. A judge reads the details of the case. Munyakayanza was only 19 during the genocide. He spent 6 years in prison. A Gacaca court heard his confession and sentenced him to those 6 years already served, plus 2 years community service. But a survivor has appealed the sentence, saying it's too light. Munyakayanza was part of a gang that manned a roadblock during the genocide. Roadblocks were used to check ID cards. Those ID cards listed a person's ethnicity. One day, a Tutsi, known as Colonel, ran the roadblock on a bicycle. Munyakayanza's gang hunted him down. They handed him over to soldiers. He was put in a vehicle and driven away. He's never been seen again. The crux of this case is whether Munyakayanza had a role in Colonel's murder. Munyakayanza says he did not. My translator explains what's happening.
Ask whether did they torture him? He said no, we didn't torture him. Even you can ask the people who were present. No one would admit that we tortured him.
Ariko jewe n'umutima wanje n'Imana iyo ibasha kureba. Ndahamya ko ntigeze ngambirira kwica.
He said, your plans, did you plan to kill Colonel? He said, for sure I didn't plan. Because I didn't have power over my body to say I cannot go, and by then, you know, it was forced. Everybody was forced to go in attacks and that stuff. For sure, I think my weakness, I can say, is that I did not refuse to go.
The crowd listens intently. It's a daunting task these community courts have taken on. There are 12,000 of them in operation in Rwanda today. The results so far are mixed. One of the most serious challenges has been the killing and intimidation of witnesses. Gacaca official Domitila Mukanaganzwa is remarkably frank about the problem.
People here, they are not ready to accept what they have done. So they are killing witnesses, they are killing survivors, they are intimidating them.
Mukanaganzwa is also frank about the weakness of some of the confessions. they can be incomplete, she says.
Sometimes these people, they say, if I confess totally, I'm going to denounce my father. I'm going to denounce my brother. I'm going to denounce my wife. Maybe I'm going to denounce this big man who are with me in prison. And maybe within prison, if I denounce them, they are going to kill me. I think sometimes we have this partial confession because of this environment.
Still, Mukhananganzwa would much rather have a partial confession than no confession at all. And in the long run, she's optimistic justice will prevail. Bonaventure Niyibizi is not. He's the director general of a new bank in the capital, Kigali. He's been attending the Gacaca for the group of killers who have confessed to murdering his mother. He says he's disappointed in the process.
You have all these people who are recognizing that they have killed. Not one person, not two, not five, not ten, but so many people. And in this case, they were all involved in the killing of my mother. And all of them are free on the basis that they have confessed. And which is even more disturbing because I don't see the confession that they are doing being genuine. It is because they have been able to read the law and to follow the process and say, if we do this, then we will be free.
It's tempting to say that a genocide in and of itself doesn't make sense, so any attempt to do justice for it isn't going to make sense either.
Alison Desforges is a Rwanda scholar and a senior advisor to Human Rights Watch.
The scale of this is so enormous that it is difficult to imagine a system which could, in fact, deliver justice.
Desforges says the Gacaca program is an impressive attempt, but she fears it's inherently flawed. She says it's hard to blend a customary practice of reconciliation with a system of criminal justice.
A system of reconciliation believes in recreating social harmony as the ultimate objective. And having people tell the truth, show remorse, is the best way to achieve that. But in a situation where the harm done goes so far beyond the ordinary scale of what a reconciliation system is ordinarily meant to deal with, it's very difficult to find a way to include the element of some form of punitive action, because the people who did these things should, in fact, be punished.
Desforges says it's too early to tell whether the Gacaca system will succeed, but the costs in the short term have been high.
There are many indicators that the beginning of the Gacaca trials has led to increasing tension, increasing verbal assaults and actual physical assaults being made upon survivors, to a sense of fear on the part of witnesses who feel that they can be attacked for attempting to bring the truth forward, and a sense of fear also on the part of other Rwandans who feel that they may be accused simply because they are part of the ethnic group from which the killers were drawn.
Back at the Gacaca Appeals Court in Ruhango, the judges probe gently. They call witnesses up one by one. There are seven in all. Most confirm what Munyakayanza has already confessed to, that he was with the group that seized Colonel. No one saw him touch Colonel, but one witness does say Munyakayanza did get into the vehicle that took the victim away. When the official witnesses have finished, the head judge asks if anyone else wants to speak. A handful of men come forward. They speak softly. They're sympathetic to the accused. They say they believe he didn't have much power. They point out he has confessed, asked for forgiveness, and accepted responsibility for his actions. The judges go off to deliberate. The tension in the air subsides. During a break, Munyakayanza tells me he's confessed to manning the roadblock and carrying a grenade, and he's confessed to going on an attack where people died. But he says he didn't kill anybody. You did not kill anybody.
I didn't kill anybody. I didn't beat anybody. I didn't scare anybody. I didn't even hit anybody with anything.
But the judges aren't sure. When they return, they announce they are postponing the verdict. They want to investigate further. The crowd breaks up. Boys carry away the judge's bench. Then everyone scurries for cover because it's starting to rain. For the world, I'm Jeb Sharp, Ruhango, Rwanda.